Heather Vale, and this is the Odyssey Las Vegas Public Affairs Show. Joining me is Hillary Gray, CEO of the Animal Foundation. The organization has their 21st annual Best in Show Dog Show and Silent Auction coming up to benefit the Valley's lost and abandoned animals. Hillary, thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you so much for having me. It's a pleasure.
So what is the Animal Foundation?
Well, the Animal Foundation has actually been around in the community in various forms since the late 70s. It was a low-cost spay and neuter clinic back then, but since has added sheltering. And today we are actually one of the largest single-site public animal shelters in the whole country. We get about 20,000 animals through our door every year.
Wow. Okay. That's a lot of animals.
It is. And we actually are the only public intake animal shelter serving greater Las Vegas area other than Henderson. And so we bring in animals of all types. A lot of the smaller shelters that you see, they're taking mainly owner surrenders. We see a lot of lost pets, but we also see, you know, animals that come in from abuse or cruelty situations, ones that have been on the streets or may have some health issues and things like that. And we take them all because we're the public shelter. So when you think of a shelter, you probably think of adoptions, and that is the magical part of what we do. And we adopt mm-hmm. thousands of animals every year. But there's a lot that goes on behind the scenes where we're taking care from a veterinary standpoint, a lot of animals all the time, regardless of their condition. So we see a lot of different cases. We do enrichment and training and all of the kinds of things that keep animals safe and healthy so that we can get them ready for their forever homes.
Okay, so if we lose one of our pets, the Animal Foundation website is one of the first places we should check to see if they ended up there?
Yes, absolutely. We do work with City of Las Vegas, Clark County, and City of North Las Vegas Animal Control. So if they get called and they happen to pick up your lost dog or cat, chances are they're going to be coming here. But one of the other things that's part of our mission is we really want the community to know that a lot of animals that come in as strays are just what you said. They're people's lost pets. And that most of the time they're lost in their own neighborhood. You know how life happens. The Amazon man comes to your door and your dog gets out. Chances are your neighbor is going to find your dog very close to home. So we want to also have tools and resources for good Samaritans in the community to like get those pets home so that they don't have to make a trip to the shelter. And we can reserve our space and our resources for the animals that need us the most. The ones that maybe their owner has passed away or moved, or they've come from a cruelty case and they really, really need our help. So we got to get those lost pets home.
Okay. Now, what types of dogs are taking part in the 21st annual Best in Show that you have coming up?
Well, Best in Show is an incredible program. It's essentially a dog show for shelter dogs where we show the wide variety of dogs that can come into the shelter. You know, there are cliches out there. People think it's mostly Chihuahuas and Pit Bulls, but truly every kind of dog, every breed, no matter what your favorite is, all ages and sizes do come through the shelter. So we have different groups that we are showing off, large, medium, small, and then a variety group and puppies. And the cool thing is that all of those dogs get adopted right at the show. And it gives us a chance to talk to the community about all the programs of the Animal Foundation, about our kitten nursery, about programs that we have, you know, maybe to help people with pet rent that are going through some economic struggles, our veterinary clinic, all of it. So we have silent auctions. We have a live auction where we've got some really cool prizes. Like, I will tell you, we'll have a Taylor Swift autographed guitar at our live auction, which we're expecting to get a lot of traction. There's pet-related services and things, too, and it's just a fun family afternoon at the Thomas & Mack at UNLV.
Awesome. Now, how many dogs are going to be competing to be named Best in Show?
It's right about 20 dogs. And the puppies don't have to be part of competing for the title because all the puppies are adorable and would absolutely win. We have a panel of celebrity judges. So we're very excited because Alicia Clark from the Las Vegas Aces, Matt Franco, a magician who is a big animal advocate, and John Katsalamidas, the entertainment columnist from the RJ, are going to help us with the judging. And like I say, the best part of it is that all of those animals will get adopted right at the event. And it promotes that for every one of them, there are dozens more at the Animal Foundation that are just waiting to meet you.
That's awesome. So, you know, the dogs are competing against each other to be named best in show, but I can also imagine that a lot of potential owners will be competing to adopt those amazing animals.
That's right. The way that we do it at Best in Show is the rights to adopt the various dogs are up for auction as part of the event.
Oh.
Because it's a fundraiser for the Animal Foundation. We're a nonprofit, so we do rely on the community support to be able to do all our life-saving programs. So adoptions, fostering, all of our veterinary services, a lot of the enrichment and training programs and outreach to the community, that is all done with the help of the community. So this is our big fundraiser of the year as well.
Awesome. Okay. Now, what exactly will the dogs be doing in the competition? Are they just strutting up and down the red carpet and showing how cute they are?
Yeah, if you've ever seen, you know, a dog show like Westminster or Crufts, you know, they're pretty stuffy, but it's essentially the same kind of concept where the dogs are walked around the ring, and we're not looking for like standard of the breed or anything crazy like that. But, you know, the folks that are at the event get to see them and interact with them. We also have some special guests that help us walk dogs. We have a lot of volunteers, but a couple of lucky dogs will be walked by some members of the Chippendales and things like that. So it's all just really a fun day. Last year, our Best in Show winner was a little pit mix named Stella. And so the judges had a lot of fun with that because of the old movie with Marlon Brando where he yells, "Stella!" So the audience got really into it. It was very fun.
Awesome. Okay. So give us all the details of the where and the when. You mentioned it's at Thomas and Mack Center. Give us the date, the time, and all the details in case people want to come out for the Best in Show.
Sure. And the event is on Sunday, April 7th. It's at 11 o'clock in the morning. It's like 11 to 1. So it's a nice brief event. It's at the Thomas and Mack at UNLV. General admission tickets are only $5. So you can get there and have fun cheering on the dogs. That entitles you to bid on any of the silent auction or live auction prizes there. And it's just a whole lot of fun. Folks can find all the information and see profiles of each one of the dogs, preview the silent auction items on our website, which is animalfoundation.com. And you'll see Best in Show right at the top.
Awesome. Okay. And as you mentioned, for every dog that is at Best in Show, there are dozens more also waiting to be adopted. So how can people take a look at the dogs and cats and other animals that you have for adoption right now?
Well, you can look right on our website. You can do adoption searches for dogs, cats, small mammals. We always have like guinea pigs and rabbits and others. We often have a lot of reptiles. Sometimes we even have chickens and farm animals. And you can also come down to our location. We're just north of downtown. 655 North Mojave is our address, but we're right by Eastern and Bonanza on a big campus. And we're open 6 days a week, so every day except for Monday from 11 to 7. And you are always welcome to come on down and just take a look at all of our adoptable pets and maybe take one home with you.
Awesome. Okay. So once again, that website, animalfoundation.com, animalfoundation.com. And you can check out all the amazing animals that they have for adoption, dogs, cats, small animals, reptiles, what have you. All of it's there and completely searchable by animal size, animal breed, gender, all of that. And you can also go down and check out the animals live because sometimes it's nice to meet them in person. And the shelter is located at 655 North Mojave. And then, of course, if you want to attend the Best in Show dog show and silent auction that's coming up, it's happening next Sunday, April 7th from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. at the Thomas and Mack Center at UNLV. You can see more than 20 shelter dogs from the Animal Foundation strutting their stuff, competing to be named top dog, although personally, I think they're all top dog. Yeah. And they'll also be available for adoption during the event. And once again, the website, animalfoundation.com, and you can look for Best in Show. It's right there at the top of the page, animalfoundation.com. And we've been speaking today with Hillary Gray. She's the CEO of the Animal Foundation. And Hillary, I want to thank you so much for being here and letting us know more about what you're doing and this great event and how people can adopt animals. And I'm assuming people can volunteer to help out as well.
Yes, I'm so glad you asked that question, Heather. There are many, many ways that people can volunteer, including kids. We have a great program that's called Reading to Animals, where kids can pull up a stool and practice their reading and read to a dog, and it helps both of them, and it's a wonderful thing. But we have all kinds of volunteer opportunities helping us with events like Best in Show, but also a lot of the daily care that we do for the animals. So if you have some time and you want to come out and walk dogs or help us with cleaning kennels or helping customers to pick out the dog or cat that they want to adopt, we have tons of volunteer opportunities, and you can find out more about that on our website too. One other thing that I just wanted to add, I would be remiss, is one of the best parts of Best in Show is that Chet Buchanan is one of our hosts, and we always have a lot of fun with Chet.
We love Chet. That's fantastic. And once again, the website, animalfoundation.com. And Hillary, thank you once again. It's been great speaking with you and finding out more about what you're doing, and looking forward to Best in Show. So thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you so much for having me. Appreciate it so much.
Animals are languishing in U.S. shelters, especially dogs who look a certain way. These dogs are just as deserving of loving homes as any type of dog, which is why we decided to help them get out of kennels. Join the thousands of supporters of our mission to help us expand our national reach and proudly place more dogs from kennels into their forever homes. To learn more about our mission, please visit us at kenneltocouch.org.
You're listening to the Odyssey Las Vegas Public Affairs Show. I'm Heather Vail, and joining me is Angela Phillips, Executive Director of Habitat for Humanity Las Vegas. The nonprofit organization has a few fundraising events coming up, including a golf tournament and a unique brunch. Angela, thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you for having me.
So I think everyone's heard of Habitat for Humanity, but what exactly does Habitat for Humanity Las Vegas do?
So we're committed to bringing affordable homeownership opportunities to our community for low to moderate income people that are 30 to 80% area median income. As we know, homeownership is becoming out of reach for so many people in Las Vegas and across the country. And so we are focused on creating and maintaining that American dream and possible for people that may not be able to get it in the private market. In addition, we offer critical home repairs to people in our community that are low to moderate income as well, to help keep them in their homes to make sure it's safe and healthy for their family. And then we've also recently expanded into financial education, providing financial education courses to low to moderate income people, whether they want to buy a home or not, whatever their financial goals are. We provide free classes for people that are interested in just getting their finances in a better place and managing their income where it is.
Okay. And then besides providing affordable homeownership, with the Habitat for Humanity model, do people help build their own homes?
Yeah, so the families that are selected to get a Habitat home actually, in lieu of a down payment, contribute sweat equity hours to help build their home alongside the volunteers and my staff that generously give their time to come out and build their home and structure to ensure that it's affordable in the end. So any of our future homeowners that are selected for the program contribute their time building and then also taking advantage of those financial education courses instead of giving us a down payment for their mortgage.
Nice. Okay. Now, speaking of financial education, you've got a new program. What exactly is the Financial Peace Project?
Yeah, so for the Financial Peace Project, you know, after COVID, so many people struggled with their finances, whether they were in a field that felt that they wouldn't have job disruption, right? The COVID pandemic threw us all for a loop, whether you were in construction, casino, and all of that. And what a lot of people realized is that maybe we're not as financially secure as we think we are. So as a result, I did a pilot program to offer these financial education classes to anyone in the community for free that is 30 to 80% area median income. And we use the Dave Ramsey Financial Peace University curriculum. We teach them in English and Spanish. The English is 9 weeks, 2 hours once a week. Our Spanish curriculum is 6 weeks, 2 hours for once a week as well. And we just offer it to the community to assist people in just thinking about budgeting. And I think not focusing always on how can we increase our income, it's how can we use the income we have to cover our expenses while also being able to maybe save a little bit in savings for an emergency fund or these other things that can come up unexpectedly.
Yeah, for sure. When are the next sessions of the Financial Peace Project?
The next session for the English session that we're going to have coming up is going to start on April 15th. That will actually be held 5:30 to 7:30 at the West Charleston Library through June 10th. So if anyone is interested, I really encourage you to go on our website, lasvegashabitat.org. Go to the Financial Peace Project tab. You can get more information there and submit your information to be considered to attend those classes.
Awesome. Okay. So now you do have some fundraising events coming up. Tell us about the fourth annual Putt for Homes, which I love the name, by the way, Putt for Homes Golf Tournament.
Yeah, so we're holding our fourth annual golf tournament this year at Red Rock Country Club in their private mountain course. It's a way to get people involved in a fun activity, right? Everyone loves golfing in this community. That's why a lot of nonprofits hold so many golf tournaments. But it's a way to get involved and give back at the same time. So whether it's your first introduction to Habitat, it's a good way during the luncheon after the golfing to learn more about what we do. And then, you know, bring out your team, whether it's your business or your family and friends, to have a day at the golf course. And generally during that time of year, April 22nd, the weather is actually pretty nice. So it's a beautiful day out there.
Okay, awesome. So at the Red Rock Country Club Mountain Course happening on April 22nd, and what time does it get underway?
The shotgun starts at 8 a.m.
And how can people sign up to play, whether alone or with a team, as you mentioned?
So if you visit our website, lasvegashabitat.org, you'll see on the homepage, there is a link for the golf tournament, sponsorship and ticket information on our banner right when you open the website, or you can visit our events tab on our website and find the information there. And then it'll take you to our fundraising portal event hub where you can get all the information about pricing and the information we need to get you signed up.
Awesome. Okay, now you've got this unique brunch that is something I've never heard of before, but it's called the Women Build and Brunch. It's coming up in May. Tell us more about that.
So the Women Build initiative is something that habitats across the country participate in. It's a day where women, whether in construction or someone that's just interested in giving back to their community, can come out and build with us alongside other women. And it's just a beautiful day. This is the second year that we're doing it here in Las Vegas, and it's going to be on May 11th. And it's really cool to have everyone out building and then also getting ready the backyards for the future homeowners. So we do a brunch about halfway through that day, and then people will go back out and build alongside our team and the future homeowners. One of our homeowners is a single mom, and then our other homeowner, the wife, will be out there building with us as well. And sometimes we even have our other homeowners that are actually already in their habitat homes come out and build alongside us as well.
Wow, cool. So they help build a house and they enjoy some brunch all in the same day.
Yep. And it's just such a nice day to see all the women come together from different sectors. Again, sometimes we have people that work in the construction industry or someone that just wanted to come out and with their girlfriends and build alongside with us. So it's cool to see the friendships that form through this initiative. And we always love to have a way to give back to our community and engage women in our wonderful mission.
Okay, now helping to build a house sounds a little bit intimidating to me. What kinds of skills do participants need to have in order to help you build that house?
You actually don't have to have any skills to come out and build with us. We always say just come with an open heart and a helping hand. I have a team of staff and volunteers that come out and build with us every single week, and they work alongside every volunteer, no matter whether you've ever used a hammer or power tool or you haven't. They'll teach you if you're open to it. We do a safety training in the beginning, give you all the tools and skills you need. The only thing a participant would need to bring is closed-toed shoes. And then we provide all the PPE and safety equipment that's needed for the day. And again, my staff have taught everybody from people that have never touched a tool in their life to people that are experts how to help build our house. So, you know, take it from me. I went out there and did drywall hanging and taping. I had never done that before, but it was such a beautiful experience to know that I contributed to that home, some aspect of it, and made an impact on someone's life. So,
yeah, absolutely. That must feel great. So how big is the demand for new affordable homes here in Las Vegas?
So Nevada and Las Vegas have one of the worst affordable housing crises in the country, unfortunately. We need 84,000 units in Nevada to be able to fill the need of extremely low renters or people with lower incomes to actually have a stable place to live, whether it's rental or home ownership. So again, we're one of the worst in the country. One in six Nevadans spend more than half their income on housing, whether that's rental or mortgages. And that can really make an impact, particularly where we are with inflation and things that are happening in the economy where groceries are doubling what you used to pay and insurance and things like that. So by providing people affordable home ownership through our type of program, it does give them the ability to, you know, take care of their medical needs or, you know, buy groceries for their family. So it's really important that we try to address the crisis as much as we can and get ahead of it. And me and some of our affordable housing partners in the rental space are doing our best to fill that gap.
Awesome. Okay. Now, speaking of affordable, what's your Sahara Restore?
Our Sahara Restore is our retail thrift store where people can come and shop, and all proceeds from any purchases go to support our mission. So we carry anything for the home, whether it is furniture, home decor, paint, building materials, tile. We also have great partnerships with a lot of the convention and trade shows in town, like World Market Center, Home Depot Convention, things like that. And so what oftentimes those conventions will do, rather than shipping that product back to their warehouses in other states, they'll donate it directly to us. And so we're able to sell that product in our store for 50% or less of retail prices to help support our community. Also, we do take donations from our community in terms of furniture or building materials or things they may have, whether it's a commercial business or a residential home. We do accept donation drop-offs, and or we do have people that can come out and pick up your donations. That information can be found on our website as well. And everything, again, all the proceeds go back to supporting our mission of providing affordable home ownership in our community.
Okay. And the Sahara Restore thrift store, is it open for anybody or is it just for clients?
No, it's open for everyone, the general public. We're located on Sahara between Decatur and Arville, Monday through Friday, 9 to 5 p.m. Saturday, 9 to 4 o'clock. We're closed on Sundays, but anyone is welcome to come in and shop in our stores.
Nice. Okay. That's awesome. So we've been talking a lot about the various activities that you do, the various programs that you have, and some of them require volunteers. So what kinds of volunteer opportunities do you have for people to get involved and help out with your mission?
So volunteers are essential to what we do, whether it's on the construction site, in our restores, and even in our admin offices. So on the construction site, about 80% of the home is actually built by volunteer labor. And that's how we keep it affordable, especially with the rising costs of construction materials and labor. So if anyone is interested in volunteering on our construction site, they can visit our website, sign up for those opportunities, as well as in our restore, at our Sahara Restore. We're always looking for people to help organize our warehouse or help bring donations to the sales floor, get them priced. And then we also, like I mentioned, we participate in a lot of conventions and trade shows. And sometimes we're looking for groups to come out and help us gather all those donations at those trade shows and bring them, help load the trucks and bring them to our restore, and then unloading once we get here at the store. And then sometimes also we have volunteer opportunities in our offices as well, whether it's filing, doing paperwork, different ways like that. As you can imagine, as a nonprofit, we are very lean in our staff, and our community is what gives us the ability to do what we do. So we're always looking for volunteers, and all of those opportunities can be found on our website.
Awesome. Okay. So you've mentioned the website a few times, lasvegashabitat.org. And it sounds like that's where people can find out pretty much anything about Habitat for Humanity Las Vegas, from volunteering to attending the events, donating, shopping at the Sahara Restore. It's all there on the website.
It is. We regularly update it with all the activities that we have going on. And of course, if anyone has any questions or anything they can't find on the website, we do have a contact us area on our website, or they can call us at 702-638-6477.
Nice. Okay. So once again, LasVegasHabitat.org is the website to go to for Habitat for Humanity Las Vegas, LasVegasHabitat.org. You can sign up to volunteer there. You can make a donation. You can find out more about what they do. And you can also sign up to be part of the 4th annual Putt for Homes Golf Tournament. Now that is happening once again on Monday, April 22nd, with an 8 a.m. shotgun start at the Red Rock Country Club Mountain Course. And then we've got Women Build and Brunch coming up on May 11th, where women can get together, have some brunch, help build a house. And all of that information is on LasVegasHabitat.org, as well as if you want to shop or donate items to the Sahara Restore, their thrift store, all of that information is there as well. So once again, LasVegasHabitat.org. And we've been speaking today with Angela Phillips. She's the executive director of Habitat for Humanity Las Vegas. And Angela, I want to thank you so much for being here and letting us know more about what you guys are doing, all of the amazing programs you have going on in our community, and the events coming up to raise funds that people can get involved in helping out with. So thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you for having me.
I was in the hospital with my son for 18 months.
When he got injured, I knew I had to be strong.
I just remember rushing into his room and giving him a big hug and letting him know I was there.
These veterans and families are just a few of the heroes we serve at Homes for Our Troops. We build specially adapted custom homes with features like wheelchair access and automatic door openers that allow them to focus on their recovery and family.
This house is freedom.
It's hope. It's a new beginning.
Visit hfotusa.org.
I'm Heather Vail, and this is the Odyssey Las Vegas Public Affairs Show. Joining me is Dr. Ruchi Gupta, professor of pediatrics and medicine at Northwestern Feinberg School of Medicine and author of The Food Allergy Experience and Food Without Fear. The number of Americans with food allergies has doubled in the last decade, and for infants, the signs and symptoms can be different from what we expect. Dr. Gupta, thank you so much for being here today.
Thanks for having me.
So why have food allergies become so much more prevalent?
Wow, that's a great question. So about 1 in 13 kids have food allergies. It's about 2 in every classroom. And as you said, it has increased over a generation. And the reason as to why, there's so many theories, but no definitive answer. But a lot of it has to do with how our lifestyles have changed over a generation. So, you know, our microbiome, you know, being too clean, using antibacterials, a lot of things that can impact that microbiome, and then the food we eat. So multiple reasons that we're all investigating to better understand that very important question of why.
Okay, interesting. So what are some of the signs and symptoms of a life-threatening food allergy?
Yeah, so food allergic reactions, you know, can impact any organ system. So they can be confusing. So some of the most common ones are skin. We always hear about hives, swelling, itching. And I want to point out that this doesn't always happen. So although it is common, it doesn't always occur. And it can look different with different skin tones. Another really common one is GI. So vomiting is a common symptom. So those two are the most common in infants, actually. Third one is respiratory, so trouble breathing. And in infants, this can look like excessive coughing or wheezing. And other ones are cardiovascular, so you can have a drop in blood pressure. So in infants, you know, getting excessively sleepy or really fussy is important to be aware of.
So is it basically that with infants, the signs are more subtle and we have to be more aware of what it could be?
Yeah. I mean, in infants, we do see more skin symptoms and more vomiting. And then because they can't talk to you, we see that fussiness or irritability quite often. My own daughter has food allergies and she was diagnosed at age 1, and same, vomiting, hives, and that fussiness. So those are some of the most common symptoms in infants.
Okay. And what's the process of diagnosing whether it's a food allergy or something completely different?
Oh, that's a great question. So it's very important to get to your doctor, get to an allergist. And food allergies are, you know, immune mediated. So your doctor will do a blood test or a skin prick test to diagnose it after your child has had a reaction to that food. Those are two of the most common ones. And then an oral food challenge is kind of the definitive one, where in an allergist's office, they eat that food and see if they actually react.
Okay. So tell us about working with Patrick Mahomes' family and his wife, Brittany, with their kids.
Yeah, sure. You know, I am very appreciative to them to use their platform to educate people about food allergies. So, you know, in conversations with Brittany, she has two kids now with food allergies. Both Sterling and Bronze have food allergies. And she was doing what we are encouraging in the U.S. to prevent food allergies, which is introduction of peanut products. So when she was introducing peanuts to Bronze, he did have a reaction and she went to the emergency room and it was very scary for them. But over time, you know, she made a game plan with her doctor, knows how to recognize signs and symptoms of food allergy, like we discussed, and always carries her two OVIQs with her for each child wherever she goes. And, you know, OVIQ is the one FDA approved epinephrine auto injector for infants and toddlers like her kids. And it actually talks you through a reaction and what to do and when to give it and tells you, you know, to call 911 when you're done. So I think it has really increased her confidence because they're very busy and they have, you know, a lot of people around them all the time. And everyone is educated now and knows, you know, what to do in case of an allergic reaction and how to use OVIQ. And she's really, you know, good at carrying her own snacks to make sure, you know, they always have safe foods to eat.
Okay, that's awesome. So what advice would you share with other parents of young children who have also been diagnosed with food allergies?
Well, first of all, I totally understand. And it is very, very scary because food allergies are a part of everything, you know, everything a child does, everywhere we go. So, you know, you have to be very vigilant all the time. And so the most important thing is really developing that plan with your doctor, really having an understanding of signs and symptoms and how and when to use an epinephrine auto injector like OVIQ. And then next, educating everyone around you on how to do it. You know, if your child's in school, you know, your teachers and people who will be caring for them. And even, you know, as they get older, educate their friends, you know, so they have a support group around them. Join support groups and learn from other parents going through it. You can help your child live their best life with food allergies.
Okay, wow, fantastic advice. So where can people go if they want to learn more about food allergies, specifically food allergies in kids and infants, or even get one of your books?
Yeah, well, first, always talk to your doctor and then go to foodallergygameplan.com and there's a ton of resources there.
Okay, nice. So foodallergygameplan.com is the website to go to, foodallergygameplan.com. You can find out more information about food allergies, especially food allergies in kids and infants, which might not look like what you expect. And Dr. Ruchi Gupta is also the author of Food Allergy Experience and also Food Without Fear. And we've been speaking with Dr. Ruchi Gupta. Besides being a best-selling author, she's also the professor of pediatrics and medicine at Northwestern Feinberg School of Medicine. And Dr. Gupta, I really appreciate you being here today, sharing with us some great tips and advice and letting listeners know where they can get more information. So thank you so much.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate it.
Learning your child has cancer causes an emotional and financial crisis. Often the best place for treatment is far from home. But with the help of the National Children's Cancer Society, children battling cancer can get to life-saving treatment, whether it's across town or across the country. To learn how we give families hope and give their children the best shot at survival, visit thenccs.org. That's thenccs.org. Because no family should go through childhood cancer alone.
I'm Heather Vale, and this is the Odyssey Las Vegas Public Affairs Show. Joining me is Lily Law, a volunteer at the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society, or LLS, who was diagnosed with myeloma at the age of 35. And March is Myeloma Awareness Month, so it's a great time to talk about her experiences. Lily, thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you for having me.
So first of all, what is the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society for those who aren't familiar?
Absolutely. So the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society is actually a nonprofit that champions for bringing awareness, education, and resources, even personal support when it comes to blood cancers. And today, specifically, I'm talking about multiple myeloma, but they're a great, you know, resource for financial assistance, co-pays, nutritional consults. I mean, the list goes on.
Wow, awesome. Okay. Now, you mentioned myeloma. Tell us about your experience with being diagnosed with myeloma at such a young age.
Yeah, absolutely. So I was diagnosed when I was 35. My symptoms initially were more stomach related, to be quite honest. I was chronically nauseous. I had migraines, fatigue, and what really had me scared was the weakness in my legs. They often felt like noodles, Heather, and just fatigued. The scariest part was when I slid down the stairs in my house, which led me to go straight to my primary doctor. I had apparently gone into acute renal failure and spent about a week in the hospital. After running several tests, I was told that I had to meet with an oncologist because they found cancer cells in my body. It was so surreal. The treatment, the kidney failure that led to dialysis, it hit me like a ton of bricks. But today, as of 2 months ago, I am officially off my maintenance chemotherapy. I'm a business owner and absolutely love to dedicate my free time to bring awareness to this disease.
Wow, that's fantastic. Congratulations on your journey and being healed.
Thank you.
Now, you mentioned dialysis and chemo. So walk us through just briefly, what was your treatment regimen like when you were dealing with having myeloma and treating it?
Yeah, absolutely. So my treatment, I had two treatments a week. So I had one chemotherapy infusion on Wednesday and another one on Friday every week. And that lasted for about 6 months. And then for the rest of the 6 months, it went to once a week and they just gave me a stronger dose on Friday. By the way, I was still working my, 30 to 40 hours whenever I felt like I could give at least 80% of myself. But yeah, it was a bit tough. And also the dialysis, right? Being diagnosed with end-stage renal failure, like that actually hit me pretty hard because my mother had also had a kidney failure. So I had actually seen dialysis firsthand and I was afraid and kind of running away from it. But after some time, my kidney wasn't getting any better. So I did have to get on dialysis. But yeah, that was my treatment story and my focus with dialysis.
Is kidney failure common with all blood cancers or just myeloma?
With multiple myeloma, I would say, it is a blood cancer and that's what it has in common with others, right? With other 100 types of blood cancers. But multiple myeloma affects multiple parts of your body. That's why it's called multiple myeloma. It'll affect your plasma cells and your bone marrow. So it affects your immune system. It affects your bones. And it could also potentially affect your kidney, which it affected mine.
Wow. Okay. How did the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society support services help you during your journey and your experience with multiple myeloma?
Oh my gosh, in several ways. LLS was huge support when it came to providing educational resources to me. Initially when the doctors tell you that you have myeloma and try to explain it, it's like the Charlie Brown movies, right? It's like womp, 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 womp. It really just goes over your head. LLS has tons of information, resources, and people willing to, really help you out. Like they'll follow you personally, month after month. What continues to help me is like the personal, communities and chat groups that they have available, connecting with other patients and survivors. I mean, they've helped with financial assistance when it comes to co-pays. Because by the way, medicine is so very expensive, but LLS does a phenomenal job of bringing resources and assistance to all, and it's absolutely free.
Wow, that's fantastic.
Yeah.
All right. So where can listeners go if they want to learn more about the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society, including the services and resources that they have available to those who are also diagnosed with a blood cancer?
Absolutely. So any one of our listeners who wants to connect with LLS, you want to reach out to Leukemia and Lymphoma Society by hitting up 1-800-955-4572 or lls.org. I do want to also plug in that for our Black community, we do have what is called the Myeloma Link. It's part of a division of LLS that helps empowering Black communities through free educational outreach and enhancing access to care for the Black community. You can also reach them by just going directly to lls.org/myelomalink. So I did want to make sure that that was prevalent and you guys heard it directly from me.
Awesome. Okay. So once again, lls.org is the website to go to for the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society, and lls.org/myelomalink for the Myeloma Link program. You can also call 1-800-955-4572, 800-955-4572, or once again, the website lls.org. And we've been speaking with Lily. She's a volunteer at the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society who has just completed her treatment and now is free of myeloma. And Lily, I want to thank you so much for being here and sharing your journey and your story and these incredible resources for listeners who might be going through the same thing. So thank you so much for your time today.
Absolutely. It was my pleasure. My pleasure.
Cancer can feel like something we can't do anything about, but you can. There are screening tests that can catch cancer early when it may be easier to treat. Begin cervical screening at age 25. At 45, start colorectal and breast screening. At 50, discuss lung screening with a doctor. Find resources for free and low-cost screening at cancer.org/get-screened. This is a public service message from the American Cancer Society.
This is the Odyssey Las Vegas Public Affairs Show, and I'm Heather Vail. Joining me is Naomi Mathis, Air Force veteran and Assistant National Legislative Director for Disabled American Veterans, or DAV. DAV's newest report, Women Veterans, The Journey to Mental Wellness, shows alarming statistics about women veterans and suicide when compared with their male and civilian counterparts. Naomi, thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you so much for having me to discuss this important topic.
Yeah. So before we get into that, just for the listeners who aren't familiar, what exactly is Disabled American Veterans?
DAV is a nonprofit organization that is dedicated to building the lives of our nation's veterans. We have over 1 million members, and we advocate on Capitol Hill, and we also have benefits advocates to ensure that our veterans get the health care and benefits and services that they've earned through their military service.
Okay, awesome. That's fantastic. So you've got a new report, Women Veterans, The Journey to Mental Wellness. Now, how have women's roles in the military changed over time?
Absolutely. Well, women are the fastest growing demographic of veterans, with over 650,000 women that are now using VA healthcare services. There's 900,000 that are even enrolled in VA healthcare services. And so our report is really the third in a series that we've produced, but the first one dealing with mental health issues. It's a comprehensive look at the risk factors contributing to the staggering suicide rate among women veterans and how the VA can do better. It identifies gaps in care and offers more than 50 legislative and policy recommendations that can be implemented to save women veterans' lives.
Okay. Now, veteran suicide is a topic we've explored a lot, but what do you know about suicide in women veterans specifically? Why is it so high?
From our research, we found that certain factors put women veterans at higher risk for suicide, to include things like military sexual trauma, which is inclusive of sexual harassment and sexual assault while serving in the military. It's not only military sexual trauma, but there are also other high-risk factors such as intimate partner violence, mental health issues related to reproductive health, substance use disorder. All of these things layered with exposure to things like combat and PTSD, it really just becomes the perfect storm.
Wow. Okay. So what kind of recommendations are outlined?
Sure. So our recommendations overall, DAV found gaps in access, in training for their community care providers, and suicide prevention efforts, including gender-tailored care. Things like the VA's predictive model. They have an innovative predictive model to predict suicidality in high-risk veterans. And so that uses a male normative baseline. It does not include things like MST. And so one of our policy recommendations is that VA must ensure that their algorithm is weighted for these unique factors for women veterans and include things like military sexual trauma.
Okay. And generally speaking, in this predictive model that you're talking about, what sorts of red flags is the algorithm looking for?
It's looking for things like if they were deployed to a certain area, if they have a prior mental health diagnosis, certain other medications that they're taking, comorbidities, domestic violence, you know, and other factors like that go into this predictive model. But as I said, it only uses the male as the baseline.
Yeah. And what would be involved in making it more tailored to women?
So we had an event on Capitol Hill and we had a panel of experts. And on that panel, we spoke about this AI predictive model. And one of their experts said that it is something that they are looking at now. So we hope to have that done. I mean, I don't know how quickly, but we hope to have it done pretty soon. There are other recommendations in the report that can be done probably a little quicker and other things that might take some time.
Okay, so of all the policy recommendations that you've outlined in your new report, which ones do you think could be implemented first to help women veterans who might be at risk of suicide?
So there's a three-digit number for the suicide crisis line, which is 988. We believe that there should be a three-digit number for women to use for intimate partner violence that will connect to the National Domestic Hotline, given the high rates of women veterans that report being exposed to intimate partner violence, 1 in 5, actually.
Okay. Now, what other resources are available that could help a veteran, or if someone listening has a loved one who's a veteran in need, what can they do to help?
If you know a veteran or if you are a veteran and you want to know more, go to womenveterans.org. There is the full report there along with all of our recommendations, but it also includes access to other resources and our actual DAV website that might be able to help them.
Okay, awesome. So womenveterans.org is the website to go to, womenveterans.org. You can access the results of DAV's newest report, Women Veterans, The Journey to Mental Wellness. You can access resources and tools and ways to help out, whether you're a veteran in crisis or whether you have a loved one who is a veteran in crisis. And specifically, we're talking about women veterans today and the unique challenges that they face. We've been speaking with Naomi Mathis. She is a combat disabled Air Force veteran and also Assistant National Legislative Director for Disabled American Veterans, or DAV, who put out this latest report, Women Veterans, The Journey to Mental Wellness. And once again, that website, womenveterans.org, womenveterans.org. And Naomi, I want to thank you so much for being here and talking about this very serious and very important topic and some of your findings, as well as some of your recommendations and resources that can help. So I really appreciate your time here today. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for giving us the time and space.
My name is Corporal Bradley Joseph Seitz.
Jerry Reed.
Kate Weber.
These are real veterans facing a real challenge.
I have PTSD.
And I have PTSD.
I have PTSD.
Post-traumatic stress disorder can happen to anyone.
I was still in a war zone in my mind.
But treatment can turn your life around.
Treatment has really saved my life.
To learn about PTSD and how treatment can help you, call your local VA medical center or visit ptsd.va.gov.
I'm Heather Vail with the Odyssey Las Vegas Public Affairs Show, and this is your community events calendar for nonprofit initiatives and charity events around the Valley. Monday's Dark with Mark Chinook is a bi-monthly musical fundraising party at The Space, with each event raising $10,000 for a specific charity in 90 minutes. Upcoming shows include this Monday, April 1st at 8 p.m. benefiting Nevada Fertility Advocates, and Monday, April 15th at 8 p.m. benefiting the Farrar Foundation. Get tickets or find out more details at mondaysdark.com. That's mondaysdark.com. The Nevada chapter of the National Bleeding Disorders Foundation is holding their 9th annual Winter Wine Fest next Friday, April 5th from 6 to 8 p.m. with VIP reception at 5 p.m. at the Vegas Event Center downtown, Las Vegas Boulevard, just south of Charleston. Find out the details or get tickets at hfnv.org. That stands for Hemophilia Foundation Nevada, hfnv.org. The 6th annual Walk for Friendship Las Vegas Fundraiser Walk and Community Carnival is happening next Sunday, April 7th, with check-in at 10 a.m., walk at 11 a.m., and carnival at noon at Las Vegas Sports Park. Support the Friendship Circle's efforts to provide social and recreational opportunities for children and young adults with disabilities. Find out more or register at walkforfriendshiplv.com. That's the number 4, walkforfriendshiplv.com. The Animal Foundation's holding the 21st annual Best in Show Dog Show and Silent Auction benefiting the Valley's lost and abandoned animals next Sunday, April 7th from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. at the Thomas and Mack Center at UNLV. More than 20 shelter dogs from the Animal Foundation will strut their stuff on the red carpet and compete to be named top dog. And all the canine participants will be available for adoption during the event. Find out more or get your tickets at animalfoundation.com. That's animalfoundation.com. The Las Vegas Metropolitan Police Department Foundation and the Gratitude Project are hosting the 7th annual Hidden Heroes Black and White Gala honoring the LVMPD Air Support Search and Rescue Section on Friday, April 12th at 5:30 p.m. at Chaos Nightclub at Palms Casino Resort. Find out more info or get your tickets at lvmpdfoundation.org/hidden-heroes. That's lvmpdfoundation.org/hidden-heroes. Miracle Flights is hosting the 2nd annual Soaree fundraising event on Friday, April 12th from 6 to 10 p.m. at Thrive Aviation Private Jet Hangar. This event supports the organization's mission of helping children who need to travel for life-changing medical care. Find out more or get your tickets at miracleflights.org. That's miracleflights.org. The Nevada Shakespeare Festival is bringing a variety of the Bard's notable works to Las Vegas this season. The Free Shakespeare in the Park tour will feature Macbeth and take place in April and May at various locations around the Valley, including Saturday, April 13th in Solista Park at Inspirada at 6 p.m., Thursday, April 25th in Heritage Park Senior Center at 1:30 p.m., and Saturday, May 4th at the Silver Spring Rec Center at 6 p.m. And Julius Caesar will be presented May 9th to 11th at Las Vegas Academy of the Arts. All the performances include modern and unexpected elements. You can find out more or get your tickets at NevadaShakespeareFestival.com. That's NevadaShakespeareFestival.com. Green Our Planet's Earth Day Giant Student Farmers Market is happening on Friday, April 19th from 9:30 a.m. to 12:30 p.m. on the lawn at downtown Summerlin. The student-run farmers market will feature produce grown from Clark County School District school gardens, and student farmers will be there to sell their produce and crafts to the public, with all proceeds returning to the schools to amplify and preserve the school's garden programs. Find out more at greenourplanet.org or facebook.com/greenourplanet. The 21st annual Walk with the Heart of a Child to support the Children's Heart Foundation is happening Saturday, April 20th at Craig Ranch Regional Park with 9 a.m. registration, 10 a.m. opening ceremonies and walk, and 11 a.m. closing ceremonies. Vendors, community partner booths, kids zone, and food trucks will be on site. Find out more or register to walk at chfn.org/walk. That stands for Children's Heart Foundation Nevada, chfn.org/walk. Habitat for Humanity Las Vegas is hosting their 4th annual Putt for Homes Golf Tournament on Monday, April 22nd with an 8 a.m. shotgun start at the Red Rock Country Club Mountain Course. Find out more or register to play at lasvegashabitat.org. That's lasvegashabitat.org. The nonprofit Signs of Hope, which stands for Healing, Options, Prevention, and Education, is marking their 50th anniversary with a Denim Day Gala on Wednesday, April 24th from 5 to 8 p.m. at Circa Resort and Casino. Wear your denim in support of sexual assault survivors for Sexual Assault Awareness Month, with the important message that it doesn't matter what a victim is wearing because there's no excuse for sexual assault. Find out more or get your tickets at SOHLV.org. That stands for Signs of Hope, Las Vegas, SOHLV.org. Make-A-Wish Southern Nevada is holding their 22nd annual Walk for Wishes fundraising event on World Wish Day, Saturday, April 27th, with 8 a.m. registration and the walk and run starting at 8:30 a.m. at Town Square. Make-A-Wish chapters and affiliates across the globe come together each year to celebrate World Wish Day, the anniversary of the wish that inspired the founding of Make-A-Wish back in 1980. Sign up or find out more info at wish.org/snv/walk. That's wish.org/snv/walk. And Aid for AIDS of Nevada, or AFAN, is hosting the 34th annual AIDS Walk Las Vegas on Sunday, April 28th at 9 a.m. at Las Vegas Ballpark. This year, AFAN celebrates 40 years of providing HIV/AIDS services to the community, and the walk is in partnership with Clark County's Love, Live, Undetectable Equals Untransmittable campaign. Penn and Teller will return as grand marshals, and dogs are welcome with a signed pet waiver. Register for the event or find out more at afanlv.org. That's afanlv.org.